Hangmen of England. English executioners from early history, Anglo-Saxons, to Mr. Bull. Now, hanging by the neck until dead as a legal punishment was apparently introduced in the Britain by the invading Anglo-Saxon invaders. The Romans used decapitation, and the first English martyr, St. Alban, was beheaded by the Romans around 303 AD. Now, when William the Conqueror took over in 1066, although he was very brutal when it came to putting down rebellion in the country, he was extremely sparing in his use of the death penalty, inflicting it only on conspirators against his rule. But Henry I reintroduced it for murder and other crimes, including theft, and there are mentions of several hangings, sentences being meted out by local manorial lords during the early Norman period, most notably the instance in 1134, which was recorded in the Chronicles. Quote, Ralph Basset held a court at the king's thanes at Hundhoe in Leicestershire, and hanged there more thieves than ever before. 44 of them in all were dispatched in no time, and 6 had their eyes put out and were castrated. End of quote. However, we know very little about the men who actually carried out the law's decrees, and it isn't until the Tudor period that we can begin to gather even tiny bits of information about the men who served the English state as common hangmen. Now, men were hired, in some cases commandeered, to do their jobs by the lords of the manor, the bailiffs of the country, and in some cases by those who brought the criminals to justice. Now, that would be the prosecutors, and it also could be the people who arrested them and brought them in. During the reign of Henry VII, there was a law in force in Kent that stated that the prosecutor could not find a hangman to execute a fellow he had brought to justice. He, the prosecutor, must do the job himself, or himself go to prison. During the reign of Bloody King Henry VIII, a man named Cratwell, who was not regarded as an expert, but did indeed have some skill stringing up common criminals. Unfortunately, Cratwell himself ended up being hanged for theft for robbing a booth at Bartholomew's Fair. There were so many executions during the Tudor period that an army of professionals would have been needed to carry them out. It has been estimated that 2,000 people were being put to death a year in Henry VIII's time, and not that many less by the time of Elizabeth's period. Now, of course, you have to remember, this is the period of religious wars, and religious wars always bring the worst out in people. You would have the War of the Three Henrys in France. You have the 30 Years' War later on. And of course, the revolution within England over King Henry taking over the Church of England. Everybody's looking for Protestants or looking for Catholics, and then eventually back and forth. So we have hangings. We have burnings. We have beheadings. Executioners during this period were required to be butchers as well as hangmen. So they would be responsible for hanging, which isn't that technical. But they'd also be required for torturing people, for drawing and quartering people. That didn't happen very often, but it's usually for someone special, shall we say. There were sentences given frequently to Catholics. These type of things were given to the Catholics that were executed at Tyburn. One answer to the great demand for executioners was to make other criminals assist at the executions. In York, the principle of using criminals as executioners became firmly established that they were still doing it even in the 1800s. During the latter years of Queen Elizabeth I, a man named Bull was very active. It was he who executed Mary, Queen of Scots. Unfortunately, he had to hit her twice with an axe, which is somewhat embarrassing. And she, of course, tipped him, which is a common practice of the nobility, to drop a bag of coins at the feet of the executioners so they would take their time. I don't know whether her handmaiden got a refund or not. At any rate, Bull was hired by the Secretary of State Walsingham for the purpose of great secrecy for £10. And that's basically because he didn't want Elizabeth to hear about the execution. Bull was transported to the execution site disguised as a servant with his axe hidden in a box. That must have been a big box. Even though it took two strokes to sever Mary's head, he was still being used in 1593. So he must have been regarded as efficient enough executioner, either that or he got better at it as he went along. Now, back to hanging. All those who were hanged in those days died from strangulation, as there really wasn't the drop. Now, in American history, you think of the gallows and the dropping through and the breaking of the neck and things like that. Now, that's, you know, sometimes they would just hoist you up. Sometimes they would just kick something out from underneath you. Sometimes they would tie the rope and you'd be on horseback. It might take up to 15 minutes for a victim to die. And there are quite a few records of victims of the scaffold assumed to be dead being found later to be alive. And it has been admitted that the distinct possibility that common hangmen may have actually buried alive many of these people during that time period. The best known example is reported by John Stowe in his Survey of London. It's possible that Mr. Bull was the executioner in this event. On February the 20th, 1587, a man was hanged for felony at St. Thomas Watering. The surgeons of London begged to have the man's body afterwards for an anatomy class, which is not uncommon. After the executioner believed the man was dead, he was cut down, stripped of his clothes, laid naked in the chest, thrown into a cart, and taken through the borough of Southwark, over the bridge, and through the city of London, to the surgeon's hall at Cripplegate. There the doctors opened his chest, and he was found to be alive. He lived until February the 23rd, when he finally died. It is assumed that he then went back to the anatomy class. The next well-known executioner after Mr. Bull would be a man named simply Derrick, who will give his name to an interesting object. This business of doctors and anatomy, this is true for quite some time, was very common actually in the Renaissance period, where artists would bid for dead bodies of criminals whose families didn't want them and who hadn't died of some disgusting illness. And that the prison people and the executioners would favor the artists over the doctors, which is why frequently, you know, you have grave robbing so that you can get bodies for anatomy lessons and all sorts of stuff like that. But Michelangelo and Da Vinci, you know, you can't get those anatomy works where, you know, they're doing the David and other things by just looking at things. You have to see how they're all connected. And if you look at Da Vinci's drawings, there's no question he's dissecting people. So it's a way to make a few extra bucks as well. So the sources for this are The Hangman of England by Bailey, The History of Capital Punishment by Scott, The Encyclopedia of Murder by Wilson, Collin, and Pittman, The Reluctant Hangman by Athol, and The Common Hangman by Bland. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.